Move resolution 26-065, moved by Councilor Pekkanen, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of council at
6:31.
6:31 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-066, moved by Councilor Haskam, seconded by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held on February the 17th, 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Back into open session. We'll go through roll call once again.
Councilor Morley Haskam.
Councilor Debbie Zulak.
Councilor Nick Ryland. Sorry, I was reading the screen.
Councilor Mike Ackerman.
Clerk Administrator Carly Burton.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Have the acknowledgement declaration. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. On to item 11.1, we have resolution 26-067, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the deputation from Debbie Woods, Lynn Campbell, Diane Thompson, from the McKellar Township Public Library for their annual report 2025 and 2026 proposed budget for information purposes. So it's all ready for your deputation.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Moore and members of council. I am Debbie Woods, chair of the library board. About 3.5 years ago, the library board had a vision that the library would become a dynamic place where everyone feels a sense of belonging, that it would be the social and technological part of the community. In 2025, the library manifested that vision like never before. It's truly become a hub where more and more residents and visitors of all ages are finding community. The board couldn't be happier with our newly appointed CEO, Lynn Campbell, who piloted the library through the many changes that 2025 brought, along with her co-pilot, Debbie McMurray. And I'd like to call Lynn to come up now.
So I'm Lynn Campbell, in case you didn't know, and greetings Mayor Moore and Council. And thank you, Debbie. I'm so pleased to have this opportunity to showcase to Council what the library is offering our community. I invite you all to pop in and meet our two new staff when you get a chance. We hired Sophie Aladdin as our tech specialist. Sophie's been working on updating our digital presence in the community, such as our website and our social media. Tomorrow, Sophie is actually having a Q&A to introduce our 3D printer. And we were inviting the community to come in and find out what this 3D printer can offer them. So if any of you are available and you want to join, I encourage you to. Sophie's contribution to navigating the library into this new world of technology is outstanding, and we are very fortunate to have her join the Dream Team. Patrons now book one-on-one appointments with Sophie for assistance with their digital devices. These patrons have expressed their gratitude and pleasure both in word and in monetary donations to the library. Kim Marion is our casual library assistant. But there's nothing casual about her enthusiasm for the library, I'll tell you. Mm-hmm. Kim is now offering Cricut workshops to promote a progressive technology, a new opportunity for creativity, as well as a social experience enjoyed by so many. Kim Kim's education in the French school system prompted her to host the French Cafe every Saturday. We now have community members coming in to practice their French language skills, learn to speak more confidently, and to socialize as they learn. Children and adults attend this on a regular basis. For the past 2 years, we've proctored local high school students enrolled in online schools as they write their exams. We took pride in the fact that one of these students recently graduated. This summer, we had a private tutor use the library on a weekly basis to tutor a local lad. So from sewing workshops to repair cafes to new technology, our, your, McKellar Library is making things happen in our community. The staff of the library and our dedicated board are propelling the McKellar Library in the quest to treasure our history, to embrace the now, and to prepare us for the future. This statement is substantiated in our data, which you all received a package, and you see in the highlighted areas some pretty impressive numbers there. So as council is well aware, it takes a community to raise a library. This is very evident in our McKellar Public Library, and we thank you for your continued support and encouragement. And I'm going to hand it back to Debbie.
Walking into our vibrant library, it's easy to see and feel how much our patrons value it personally. But this year, for the first time, we used Volt, the Valuing Ontario Libraries Toolkit, to measure the economic value that our library brings to the community. The result was impressive. The McKellar Public Library provides an annual benefit to the community valued at more than $322,000. This works out to a value of $281 for every hour the library is open. And yet, each of those hours costs the municipality only about $44. So we think that's a pretty good return on investment. And I'll now call on Diane, our board vice chair.
Good evening, Your Worship, and Lord, members of council. I'm not here to throw numbers at you. You've got a report and you've got a budget. But you've no doubt noticed that our library is very busy now, and it seems there's always something happening. Our staff is working hard to ensure that the library continues to be a hub in the community and that it's a safe and inclusive place to gather. In order to maintain this level of excellence and activity, we need to increase our staff hours. In 2025, with some creative rearrangement of allocation of paid hours, we were able to, as you can see in our annual report, keep the library open 100 more hours than we have in 2024. This comes at a cost. We reduced our CEO's admin time in order to give support time, staff more time. The events we offer take time to plan and execute. Staff are working unpaid hours just to keep up with the ongoing library tasks. Please give serious consideration to our need to keep our momentum going and to adequately compensate our staff for all their dedication and hard work. Thank you. And back to them.
Well, that's great.
Questions?
Well, might be some from council. Yes. I was there at the start, so it's come a long way. I know that.
And we're very proud of what we've done.
Yes. Councillor Haskin?
Yeah, I would just like to compliment you. You really got it rolling real nice, a lot of momentum, and it's just absolutely wonderful. The numbers are just mind-boggling. So I would just say, yeah, keep up the good work. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Councilor Keckman?
Yeah, same. And the partnerships, especially, you know, I know about the partnerships we're having with the historical committee, so looking forward to events that are planned even this summer. And I think it's great, a great partnership, and as well with the partnership with the Agricultural Society, I think it made a big difference with promoting different activities so that people could enter things into the McKellar Fall. I think it made a huge difference. So, wow, that was a great idea. So, thank you.
No, and I think people have understood that the changing nature, I think, of the library and all the different groups that you're advertising and people coming in and putting on different exhibits, I guess, in some cases, and workshops, and people are participating in those, I hope. So that's great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. So I'll call the question of council. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. To 14.1, resolution 26-068, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haston. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February 3rd, 2026 regular meeting of Council, February 5th, 2026 special closed meeting of Council, and February 6th, 2026 special budget meeting as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 15.1, we have resolution 26-069, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive memo of official plan number 9, provincial comments from John Jackson Planner Inc. for information purposes. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Well, John, nice to see you back.
Is this on?
I think
yes.
It's on.
Yep.
Good evening, worship members of the council. It's been a strange journey, a possible way to put it. And I suppose the strangeness about it is not much has really changed in the planning documents in terms of the actual import substance or process. So I suppose that's the frustrating part. I think Carly circulated sort of the background memo to where we started and then stopped and waited. And I think in terms of going forward, I believe that, and it's hard to qualify it because I think the province broke the law. And I don't know really how to characterize it in any other way. I mean, they're supposed to deal with us within 90 days and not almost a year and a half later. But, you know, I was always taught that two wrongs don't make a right. So I think the only thing that's outstanding in my world is that we're not to hold the public meeting until the ministry got back to us with comments, which they were supposed to provide within 90 days. And that was in the summer of 2024. They used some rather feeble excuses, like there was a new PPS in the fall of that year after their supposed response time. And the reality was that those changes to provincial policies were not that significant. And then fast forward another year, there's a new set of policies that, again, didn't really change a lot from when we started this back in, now I'm losing time, but probably six, seven years ago, when OPA 9 and the update were originally proposed. So I think we get it back on track just by having that public meeting that was set aside because we didn't have it until we had it before and not after we received the provincial comments. And the reality in my world is that the second round of comments, which were really the third round of comments, didn't warrant any changes in my world, unless I've done something wrong. But I'd be happy to respond to any questions about any of the items that I think we don't need to change. That they've suggested, because if you read my responses to them, I think that you'll see it's already there. I don't understand them. They have word preferences, but if our language is sufficient, why would we want to need to make the change? I'm most puzzled in my senior years. So I think we could get this back on the rails. Now, the only question that with two questions. How much circulation? And because I don't think it's a lot, I don't know that we need to do a mail-out. We probably have missed inserting something in the tax bills.
We're very close. We're sending tax bills this week, so council would need to make a decision tonight.
Okay. Again, I don't think it's life or death, because I don't think we want to go to an expense for a separate mail-out. And because the changes really are not much different than they're posted and have been sitting posted for years now, I think it can be done with just a new post. I mean, they made changes to the regulations to say that posting electronically is sufficient for a lot of these matters, particularly when they've taken most of the appeal rights away.
Mm.
So we're not, you know, we're not removing any entitlements to ratepayers. So, and the other technical thing, although I don't know how fruitful that would be, is to have an invitation sent to the provincial planners to see if they wanted to come and speak to us specifically. But I don't know where that would necessarily get us.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned with that because, like you say, they sort of sent out the same comments even after your comments. It almost can get the impression that they didn't read your comments or they didn't agree with them, and they just put out the same sort of things from the province. So I'm sure that's what we would hear from them if they came in person. I think they would just read their chart to us.
I think you're right, and I hate to say it, I don't think it adds anything. And that's you know, I think that's confounding, because what's their role? And you know, when council decided to set this aside and ask the minister to just give us the power to approve our own amendments, because obviously that's all we need. And they said, no, we got to follow this process. I'm not really sure we got the ear of the politicians or the bureaucrats. And it's very puzzling, but I did agree to see this through to the end. So I'm at your direction. This is my swan song for municipalities, so I don't mind finding out where this book ends. So,
no, we're certainly fortunate that you hung in there with us, and I'm thinking we'll go through the same sort of thing. I'm just interested in the procedure. If we have the public meeting and another open house if we need to, and if it's adopted, then it goes back to the province. What's the next step if they deny it? Does it go to a tribunal, or can they appeal it?
Well, the way the system works is that they have the last word.
All right.
So there is no appeal.
Okay.
But in my belief, I don't think that they've added any improvement to the changes by OPA number 9. They're not so much interested in the bylaw, which I think we're frustrated, because I think there's some benefit to the community by having those changes in the bylaw, at least in the trenches where the building department works. So I don't see them coming down heavy-handedly. They may want to have an in-person meeting, which would perhaps justify some further changes, but I'm not seeing that. But the new system is designed when the minister has the approval authority to stop there. There's no further appeal. So there wouldn't be any additional expense. It just essentially force some different language down our document. So essentially it's over, except for, do we need to hold a public meeting because you didn't follow the Planning Act? Which, again, I think, We want to take the high road more than not. We've got to readopt it anyway.
Right.
So just technically post it somewhere. If we can squeeze it in, you're going over the top if you send a note in the tax bills, in my world.
I think it's good you pointed out, certainly in the chart, that it's already there in different clauses that exist, and they just didn't see them, or they didn't say that. That covered what they were talking about. And the regurgitation, I think that was a good word you used, that so many of the provincial policies, they want rewritten in our official plan. I'm not sure why a reference to those policies would be good enough rather than actually copying exactly what they say.
You know, I remember former CAO Sean Boggs said, why don't we just staple DPS to the bylaw and call it our official plan?
Yeah.
And he wasn't far off. You know? So I don't think there's much you need to do, just other than to say, we will take the high road and we'll send notices out and comply with the act where she did not.
Other comments from council? Councilor Zula?
Well, I don't agree with that. As they had 90 days to respond, like John said, and they did break the law, and I think they need to be made accountable for that, because like I said a million times, if the shoe was on the other foot, we'd be having to, you know, be accountable for our actions. And that also brought the new provincial policy statement because of their delay. Now that the new provincial policy statement is in effect, and it's not for the lack of trying to correspond with municipal affairs, because there was a lot of trying by Carly and by John to try and get answers from municipal affairs, and that's not right. They need to respond, even if we do hold a public meeting. I think they need to account for their mistakes. Like we. Is there a possibility that we could have them come to a meeting and have, like, even Graydon Smith, he's part of municipal affairs now, right? And they know what, and he knows what they have done, how they've treated this municipality and how it has affected the municipality and put back how many years when this should have been done a long time ago. I don't think they should be just get let off like that. People need to know what they have caused and what they've done. You know, they're supposed to be public servants, and how are they public servants? They're not. They don't even deal with the municipality in the way that they should. So I don't know. Do we have a public meeting like John is suggesting, and do the changes? But still, I think. It needs to be known that they broke the law.
Other comments? Councilor Keckner?
Thank you for all your comments. We always appreciate the thoroughness and just the common sense that you provide. And just question here, on December 16, 2025, council passed a resolution, now therefore be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby formally rescinds official plan amendment number 9 from consideration by the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing. So what would you say where we are in status with regard to official plan amendment number 9 as
I think that we have to re-adopt it. It's a simple one paragraph bylaw that readopts the official plan amendment, and then we submit what's referred to as a record to the ministry to review all of the input, which is somewhat historic now because it's been sitting on a shelf somewhere for almost 2 years. So that's the process.
Councilor Pegman?
In regards to the public meeting, in your report here, you indicate that a copy, and this is under legislative framework, the second paragraph, a copy of the proposed official plan update must be circulated to the approval authority, Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing, at least 90 days prior to the open house or public meeting. So it was circulated to the ministry June 16th, 2024. And the municipality had the open house on August 25th, 2024, and the public meeting August 29th, 2024. So I think even the ministry acknowledged that that was not the mandatory public meeting because it did not align with the 90-day minimum requirement of it being in possession of the ministry.
Yes, except that you might recall that I asked them to consider that having been done with respect to the first go-around on OPA number 9 a year before, because
there were no substantive changes in the version of OPA number 9 that we held the public meeting for in June, in August. And that would have probably not caused this problem to have occurred at all. But they came back and said, no, we're considering this as a new document, and therefore we're going to require you to give us the 90-day circulation window to review it. So that's where their common sense got derailed. And when you compare the document today, OPA number 9, from not only the version of June 2024, or the one a year and a half or 2 years earlier, they're all pretty much identical. So they were the ones that really caused this to be overly bureaucratized, and I don't think that was necessary. So I don't think we have any problems here. We can just readopt it, and we're back on the rails.
And readopting it then sort of resets the timelines for the requirement for an open public meeting, just because the ministry, Blaine from the ministry, he's had stated in an email that no, that is not the mandatory public meeting. The one we had on the open house, or the public meeting, was August the 29th, 2024, because it didn't meet that. Because we had rescinded OPI number 9 and the zoning bylaw in that first iteration, 2019-23. So it's basically we started over again, and you presented a proposal of what dates certain events would be taking place, so that it would align with what the requirements would be for this past iteration that we had gone through, you know, 2020-2024. So anyways, I'm just looking at the documentation, and it basically says that was not recognized as a public meeting legislated, so.
Yes, because it predated that 90-day window, which window mm-hmm. would have closed at the end of September of 2024.
Right.
So despite our suggestions that really the document was the same that was reviewed in 2019-2020, and they would refuse.
Yeah, I've seen those emails that you had proposed it to them, that you know there's not a lot of changes, and it just seemed like the process had to go forward as legislated.
With one minor exception being that the way that the notices read, you have to have the open house at least 1 week before the public meeting. So our open house is still compliant with the requirements for notice, so we don't need that. I mean, it's more than 7 days. It's like 2 years and 7 days, but therefore we just need the technical public meeting now that the circulation of the ministry's review is now ended. So I think we're back on if we just simply provide a notice. We do it on the website. I think the bonus is putting a note in the taxes if we can get it there. I don't mind the radical Councillor Zulak approach, but it's just I'm kind of with her. I take it a little personally because I told them I was going to be retired, within a 6 month window of myself, and it didn't seem to matter to them. And you guys, as a municipality responsible for looking after your community, would have had to hire somebody else to start over again, and that would have just been more waste in my world. So I like what councillors are like saying, but I want the end of this, and I don't know the fastest way to get there, but to just say we've done it all.
Councillor Zulak.
So I'm basically saying is, okay, we have the meeting, right? We have the meeting, but we still need to make them accountable for what they've done. You know, the public has to know what they have done. You know, what have you been doing on council for 4 years, you know, with the official plan? You know?
Yeah, to Debbie's point, but if Graydon were to read your letter to us, John, I think he would get the message pretty fast, you know, with words of them failing and the word regurgitating and all this kind of stuff. I think he would get the message pretty quickly that they failed. And so I, on that note, I just assume us try to clean this up and move on with it. And have the whatever required meetings are. If we don't need an open house, have our public meeting and proceed with it. Appeals not being allowed. I don't know if anybody's even going to pay attention to this. If there is, it might only be a couple people out there. But yeah, I think we should work toward cleaning it up myself.
I'm just wondering what we have posted on the website. We had the red line, I guess, of the official plan and the zoning, but that's another matter we'll get to. And I think some of the public sent in comments as well. Most dealt with the zoning. They didn't deal so much with the official plan, but there were a couple I noticed that did. And I just wondered if you had considered those when you did the OPA 9, whether some of those concerns that the residents had expressed were at least taken into consideration. And they are on the website, I think, but I'm not. That's accessible. No, not accessible to all.
No.
So I'm not sure if they were accessible to John or not.
Any ones that did come through, I sent to Patrick and John and Jody, so I believe they have been dealt with, and a few repairs did visit your office.
Yes, I think that we took everything into consideration in both instruments, both the official plan amendment as well as zoning.
Okay.
And all of those get bundled up in this record that you send in to the minister with OPA number 9.
Okay, that's good. I'm just wanting to make sure that what we have online, and it's a little confusing, I guess, to the public and maybe to council, I don't know, when you have so many different versions out there, because as you say, that there was a 2015, I think that's the one we had posted, and then there was a 2018, I don't know whether you recall all these dates or not, and when they were passed, and then as Councillor Kekkonen said, the third reading was repealed on those, so I guess we're back to OPA 8 in 2015, although we have a 2018 document, it's not online. I'm not sure how that exists or what validity it has. And the same with the zoning. But as I say, I'll save the comments on zoning until a little bit later if we've got time. But so I'm just wondering, the public trying to follow this and the changes, I'm looking at what we had online for OPA 9, the changes that are listed. I think you had, I don't know how many, but I just copied what we have on our website. And then I look at what you're proposing now for OPA 9, and they seem to be a reduced number by a fair bit. There's a whole section of 5.9.2 right through to 6.17.1, which is online for us, but they're not dealt with your version you sent us. I just wondered if those have been incorporated into the OPA 9 in some way. I'm just looking at OPA 9, what you're submitting or suggesting we submit. It seems to be lacking a number of items that were noted online. Maybe from the first go around, I don't know.
I can take a quick look at that for purposes of being complete and consistent.
Yeah.
So I will double check that and report through clerk's office.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. But it seems to jump from what you have here. You have 5.71, I guess. It goes up to 7, and there's a lot of them in the 6s that show up on the McKellar site. There were about 25 or 30 of them. A lot of them are very basic stuff, just removing the word ministry environment, for instance, and just putting in provincial. But there seemed to be a number that weren't in your list, so I'm just wondering if it would be good if you could review that.
I can check that for you.
Okay. Sure. Just just want to make sure that the public is kept up to date on what we have on our website and what you're actually submitting. That we don't want to miss anything that possibly thought were going to be included.
No, I will double check that for sure.
Okay. You have a rough idea of a date then, if we can get this out there, as Councilor Kekkonen saying, you're looking at late summer again, early fall, or my concern is in all of this, that's why we started, when the council began, to get this thing going, because we had the official plan to do and the zoning, and we know it takes some time to get it all done, and even though this council started out with the best of plans, I think, to have the zoning done as well. I can't see it being completed this term of council, unless you think the two could be.
Well, I think my belief was we were just going to do them concurrently.
Well, that would be great. I know we're focusing here on the official plan, but and to me, that most of the residents are probably more concerned with the zoning. So you're still on board for helping us with the zoning?
Oh, sure.
Okay, great.
Yeah, no, and I thought that all of that heavy lifting is behind us.
Great.
And we haven't tampered with that. I mean, I don't believe there's a reason to change that at this point. So, and again, the province has really taken the right away for third-party appeals. So if you don't like your neighbor's zoning, that's just so sad, because the buck stops here mm-hmm. when it comes to zoning. There's no more appeals to the OLT. So I don't see there being a downside to dealing with them as quickly as council wishes to.
Well, I think that'd be great. I think that's sort of what our goal was when we started all of this.
And I think if, I don't know what the aspirations of the members in the room are, but I don't think it needs to be politicized. So I would do it long in advance of the deep fall so that no one can make a political issue.
Helpful, I think. The thing I guess I've heard too is that when we're redlining, we're back to 95-12, for instance, of the zoning, and yet we're redlining the changes that you had made up to 2021, I guess. I think that's when it was passed in July. It was the 2019 document, but it passed in 2021, third reading. So again, for the public's sake, and I know why it was done that way, I think, on your part, they'd already made those advancements and changes. Why go back to 95-12 and start changing all the things around again? Because one thing that comes to mind that really created a big problem at the time is special provisions. You'd change those to exceptions, and you put them under each zoning area, which was good, I thought. Now, I know they don't appear in the actual 95-12. They're still special provisions. And so you've made some of the advancements early, and maybe all I could ask, I guess, is that, and I've tried to do it, that we go back to the exceptions, and that they actually reference the special provisions in some way, so that we know which ones became which. That would be useful to see the transition, because one of the problems with the appeals in the past was that some were changed. And I just had a call, well, I guess about a week and a half ago, one person had said that his was changed and he was never notified that it had been changed. MPAC, I guess, was the one that said that it's now a different situation, the zoning. And so what I'd like to know, I guess, and maybe the public's looking for, is the transition from 95-12 into 2019 or 2021, what actually happened there with the special provisions.
Did we not, we talked about this issue somewhere in the past couple of years, and I thought we made a chart that showed how previous provisions ended up as exceptions, or whether they were deleted because they served their purpose.
Right. And I guess that's the question, because one of the appeals that came up at the time was, yes, they've served a purpose, but there's still an original bylaw that says it's a special provision this way, and that without that bylaw is still in place, unless your new zoning supersedes those bylaws. And I'm not sure that they do.
I would say that they do, but let me look at that exercise because it was done.
Right,
and
I remember the chart. Yeah.
If it's as simple as sort of putting the old provisions number in a parentheses, that's easy enough.
I think that would be helpful, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I've tried to cross-reference, but it's sometimes not easy because you know what the property is, where the property is, and it's hard to tell from the
description. Yeah, and I believe at the time it was driving Patrick and I crazy, but we got it done. And I think we're not very far from making it very clear how you tie these together. That can be done.
Okay, sounds great. Other questions from council? Well, I guess we'll have to renegotiate contract too, because this is going on longer than we'd anticipated, and we don't expect any freebies here, so I guess that's up to Carly to negotiate with you, and how are you going to work that? Because, again, you have to negotiate or speak to municipal affairs, and we have another public meeting, which you didn't actually put in your budget, probably. So.
No, but it was, I think, a pretty well-known fact that this was a pretty fuzzy roadmap.
Yeah.
And I suppose it remains so, but I'm hoping it's much clearer than it needs to be fuzzy, because I still want to go fishing. So, yeah, if I can talk to a budget number, because council's in that sort of phase right now.
Right, that's important, yeah.
So I'll work with Carly so it's not sort of too extravagant, but you know, it's realistic.
Yeah.
Whatever that might be.
Okay, appreciate that, yeah. Yeah, because we've had a couple budget meetings, but another one I guess we're looking at probably
End of March.
End of March, yeah. So it'll be nice to have something in place anyway. We can put a figure in.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Other questions from council? Maybe we can get this accomplished this term.
So we're going to try to complete the OP and our zoning bylaws. That's what I'm hearing, kind of thing. So this will probably create some controversial at the meetings, especially over rentals. That's going to come back up to the surface again, so we'll have to deal with that. So,
wasn't the, just for my own recollection, we just decided to stand pat on how we deal with the rental issue and really not respond in any way other than deal with complaints that might emerge? Am I getting that memory correct?
That's the way I recall it. It's a commercial use. I think that's one thing we agreed on, and that's what it says in the planning documents. I guess I don't know how many complaints we're getting in here through the bylaw enforcement, but maybe it'd be more come the spring and the summer. But I think that's the answer that's being given. It's just a question of, I think, a few that are causing the problems, not necessarily all of them. And I think council generally didn't want to go the licensing route. So just status quo, as you said, I think it was, that it's a commercial use. And I think Councillor Haskin mentioned at one point that one possibility was actually to have it rezoned to commercial then. I think he'd mentioned that a few months ago, if they're going to use it that way.
Yeah, I don't feel that way now.
Okay.
I've had a couple of years to think about it. I just assume, not even, yeah, like kind of what you're saying, like leave it as is, or almost to not recognize it in a way, you know, kind of things.
Like, well, you wouldn't be alone. There are many municipalities that I think take the approach that I understand you're taking. And I think that, if I'm correct, this won't come up as a central issue in this sort of finishing up this job, because it's all behind us. And the declaration was made, look, we're not going to touch the issue in this bylaw program. That's my recollection. So it doesn't mean that you won't get someone coming forward and asking for it to be a consideration, but that's something that council as a whole can determine.
Yeah, I think it's council will have to deal with the enforcement.
That's the scary part, and I blame the province again for not coming up with something for all of the province, because it's a problem everywhere. And so it's almost like, well, if the province isn't going to do anything, why we have no policies or anything to go by. Why do we even deal with it at all? You know, we're not getting any help. So it's like, what?
Yeah, the prosecution part of this business is just scary, cost-wise. And that's why we ended up where we ended up several years ago, and that was to walk away. Both parties agree not to agree, and that's where it stopped.
Yeah, so you hate to even get into that situation, yeah, where you start spending money, you know, somebody comes forward and says, you've got to do something about it, and if we have it in there, it's not permitted, but it's happening, we're kind of obligated, kind of in a way, unless we just say and ignore them, which we could almost, if we could do that in some way in our zoning, where we don't even have to ignore them, well, no, it's a provincial thing, you know, just go deal with them.
Yeah, and in my experience, it's a behavioral thing, so most of the problems can be handled by bylaw. You know, whether it's fires, noise, parking, dogs, trespassing. You probably have that full bandwidth of regulations in effect.
Yeah, and what's come up is, and I'd like to really push, and I think it's been happening through our bylaw enforcement, is the education end of it. You know, tell your renters, you know where you throw your garbage and the noise bylaws. So you'd still like to have the educational part there, but can you educate something that's not legal in the township, basically? It would be almost an argument. Say if the council's was detecting these, or can it be done through your bylaw where they could hand, you know, a sheet to these repeat renters and say, you know what, you know, educate your renters. Is that, would that be something that can still be done?
I don't think in my view that would be a positive stance, because it's unlawful. We recognize it as being unlawful. But I mean, the reality is you don't want to exhaust resources on a behavioral issue. I mean, if there's, you know, a barking dog, you know, send a bylaw to deal with that. And so that, and it's turning a blind eye, but it's being realistic in terms of your capability financially to deal with the cost of enforcement.
Yeah, and I think the argument at the public meetings we had was you have the laws in place, enforce them through your bylaw, like the noises and the fire and all that kind of stuff. So if we continue to do that, I think that would satisfy a lot of the people, as long as, when there's a problem at a so-called rental cottage, that we'll just enforce all that. But as far as making a maneuver on going after trying to charge somebody that has a rental cottage, that's kind of what you want to try to avoid, is getting into that situation of going down a road that there's no end to.
And we do know that the industry is robust. I mean, it you know, gets driven down farther and farther underground. I don't think that's ever going to go away.
No, with bad economics, it could get a lot worse. You know, where people may have to rent out their cottages. I don't think we're in that situation now. Well, probably some are, but it could get worse in the future. And that's why I
just... Yeah, all those arguments, I think, came out in the public meeting process. We had them from both sides. Like, they were all very, very much zealots on their sides, but wasn't giving us any new solutions.
No, there isn't a perfect solution.
I believe you're probably following the other municipalities in the area. They're all struggling with the same dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, not so much in a kind of a McKellar economy, but in Seguin, like, some of these weekly rentals are in the tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
so
pretty much public knowledge it's happening, and so
yeah,
be it.
But they've declared that they don't support them in their bylaw. So you're not alone. Just not an easy issue.
Mm-hmm. That it boils down to almost being a human's rights situation, where if somebody financially needs that to survive, like that rental income, like, can you really deny them that right to make that income to survive. I think that's what it really boils down to, and that's why nobody's really dealing with it.
Councilor Zulai.
Okay, so then you're not going to deny me the right to have all kinds of campers on my property? If I have 100 acres, because I need that money, I need the income to survive.
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I know you would.
if I could put it in, I think the context really is, does it really matter whose head's on the pillow as long as it's a single detached dwelling unit? I think to go in multiple, that's where the land use control is actually being violated. But the question is the person that owns its head not being on the pillow constitute a violation of the use? I don't think so. That tends to be my general thought of it, and that creates a difficulty.
Councilor Zulai?
So I'm seeing an unfairness here with a person that has a commercial business that has to have water inspection, has to have the septic inspection, has to have a business license and everything else. And then you have an individual that buys a cottage or whatever home, and specifically to rent it out. And they don't have to get a business license. They don't have to get the water tested. They don't have any of these other, you know, obligations that a business owner has. I think that's unfair.
I agree with that unfairness. And when I've dealt with this for municipalities, some of the businesses came forward and said that's really not fair, but I think it's important that the cottage industry survives as well, even for their own benefit to a certain extent. So they were being fairly magnanimous about the whole notion that, sure, they had different building codes apply, different health rules apply, etc., but they were pretty good sports about it. They just felt that there was another side to the story.
Well, I think here in McKellar, businesses were put out of business because of people renting out their places. I think there was a couple of places that, you know, couldn't do it anymore because there was so many people that were doing short-term rentals.
And that, in the case of Whitestone, was why they came forward with the licensing approach. They're still using it. I'm not so sure that it's what I would call a complete success. I would probably guess that a minority of operators of rentals have not gotten licenses.
No.
But they still operate.
No.
So just
one more question. So on John's letter to us, is there any chance that we could send or ask Graydon to come to a meeting or send this to Graydon so that he sees what's going on?
Well, I think he could. He's an associate minister, I guess.
So he could pass this on. Like, if we sent it to the Minister of Municipal Affairs, plus also send it because he speaks for us, supposedly speaking for us, right? Backs us. So if he knows what's going on here with, you know.
Yeah, I guess the question is to John, what you want to go to the ministry? You want this letter to go to the ministry, or you going to word it differently? Or?
So what I would do is sort of fast forward to be where we want to be,
right.
And that's done with the least amount of pushback from Municipal Affairs and Housing. And I talked to Graydon. He actually called me and said, you know, someone said if you wanted to understand planning, land use planning in Westbury Sound, I should really be talking to you. So we have an open communication on that basis. So I don't mind talking to him about it. And just, you know, in the world of retribution today, I don't really want to wake anybody up if I don't have to. So I can speak to him. And maybe sending him a more personalized version of that letter.
Would that be fine with council? Or you want to wait till after this is all?
Well, if we want some advantage from Graydon, I think we'd have to do it beforehand.
Okay.
And he would, I think, tell the manager of that office in Sudbury, look, these guys have been on this thing for way, way too long. We've got to get it done. Mm-hmm. Just get it done. And that's the hope I would have that this discussion might lead to.
Yeah, I like John's idea. I would go with his recommendation on that.
Councilor Kagan?
So there's a couple of things that need to be touched up, I guess, in the current document and in the zoning, but the current OK number 9 is pretty well ready to go because you've commented on that the suggestions from the ministry aren't really essential and it doesn't change what we what's basically in the current version of OK number 9.
That's my sense, Mike.
Okay, so so you would forward, let me see, you've already forwarded the document, but so the 90 days, so we could have a public meeting at any point in time?
Well, the 90 days is behind us.
Okay, so we have the public meeting, and we already have comments from the previous public meetings because the province wants to know how the comments from the public have impacted or changed or have been inputted into the document that's being submitted to them. So we basically have that information.
Yes.
And then there might be a few comments at any upcoming public meeting. So the sooner we have that meeting, council can pass the approved or pass the bylaw of the approved official plan amendment to send to the ministry.
Yes.
And then with that little nudge or the little conversation with Graydon, hopefully it gets approved quite promptly after that version gets sent to the ministry. So this could happen relatively quickly.
I believe so. I think that we could advertise it on the website because I do not feel there is this huge amount of information that isn't already out there, subject to confirming the contents on what's on the website and the OPA9 that we're going to adopt.
So once that gets approved, then council can pass the zoning bylaw?
Yes.
Which everything is...
After 20 days.
After 20 days, and everything with... That with some changes is pretty well ready to go as well. So
yes, so I think that you know, if I was sitting in your seat, I would say I guess agreement with Councillor Keckin that we want to get it done sooner than later. Mm-hmm. Don't drag it out any longer than we need to.
Yeah. I get that. I always find it useful, I think, to have an actual document that is redlined as opposed to a list of the changes. I know you have to do it both ways, and I know that's what the ministry wants. It's just awkward, I guess, to look at, okay, in clause such and such, you have to change the wording here, add this or subtract that, and then you go back to the actual document. So it'd be nice to see online the actual document with the OPA changes. And I don't know whether how council. Staff would have to do that, I guess, but to me that's much more useful than trying to cross-reference all the time if you actually have the document with the changes in it. So
we'll look to achieve that. I think the bylaw is already in that form from 95-12. Or are you saying other than the special provision swap out for exceptions, I think most of those are listed fairly comprehensively.
Yeah, it's just hard to do the references and to deal with that. I see it as a bit of a glitch, and I don't know, you're just saying now that the bylaw would supersede any previous bylaws that were in place for a special provision. I'd like to believe that, but I'm not sure. I'm not a planner, certainly, so I don't know which comes first, but if a bylaw was passed, it was never repealed. Based on a certain piece of property, and this is what you could do on it, if you can now go back and just change it because it looks very commercial, so we'll just call it commercial, a C1 for instance, or I'm not sure we can just do that, or whether we have to go back and keep the special provision the way it was. as much as possible without making those changes. And at least if the changes are made, the property owners are aware of what's been changed and what went into making that change.
I think you could do it either way, but I think we want also try to achieve a fairly simple kind of zoning approach rather than having to go back and forth. So we don't want to take anybody's rights away without them notifying. If that happens, it's more inadvertent than it is purposeful. So
mm-hmm.
we'll certainly revisit that.
I just think the one example that I am certainly aware of, and not that I have any qualms about it, with the Minerva Park, it had a special provision, and one of the possible uses of it was a marina. And since it's now been rezoned to commercial, whatever, I don't know what the actual zoning is on it, the marina use has been removed. So that is restricting what was there before in a previous bylaw. And I don't know how many others might be in that situation.
So there would have been no intention to remove that,
no.
Right? That's confusing. That's just out here, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll certainly register that in my mind to check that for sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that, and in some cases, people are getting more uses once it becomes a general, not just a special provision. They're allowed to do certain things. I know when we started all this back in the 90s, that's where, late 80s, early 90s, that's where the people would put on as many possible uses as possible on their property, and that's what was in the special provision. But a lot of those might be lost if it's suddenly now just a general zoning of a commercial. And this is why we want to get it straightened out, because commercial has limitations too in what you can do on there. And some of the special provisions allow quite a few different uses. So as you say, you don't want to restrict what they had. Anyway, Councilor Cunningham.
So removing the special provisions was more like a housekeeping exercise?
That's what I felt.
So can we just keep the revert back to it the way it was with those special provisions? Then there's no ruffled feathers, and we haven't changed anything, and everything is back to the way it was.
I'll examine that. I think that the way we've turned to is a little more comprehensible, but not adverse to going back to historic times. I mean, it just, if you have a property that's zoned C1 with some exceptions, that to me kind of makes sense because it's right there. One-stop shopping, but I'll revisit that if that's council's wish.
I think that would be helpful, yeah.
Okay.
And as I say, the cross-references would be good. I have so many documents over there now that we've set them aside for a year and a half, 2 years, so just to get back into it.
But. Well, we all of us probably know the twists and turns that our land use planning program has undertaken over the decades, so it's I think we've done not a bad job, at least getting somewhere.
No, that's been excellent. I know we were forced into it back in the late 80s, and we needed an official plan at that time, and before we could even get into the Parry Sound Area Planning Board. And now we see what's happening there. So as it's torn apart, so we fought to get in there, and now we're one of the last survivors, I guess. So,
it's a funny world, for sure.
Yeah.
The world of planning and politics.
Yeah. Any other questions for John at this point?
Are we going to set a date?
What he's got.
So would it be, I'm just wondering what your timeline scheduling looks like of being able to present the version that we would sort of be looking at as the final version, or do we have that already? Or do we know what it is, which one it is? So just so we can establish what that final version is, because then we have the document, we know that it's ready for the public meeting. Like if that could happen in 2 weeks, no,
probably more like 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Well, that's reasonable.
Sure. So at that point, we'll come back in a 3 to 4 week time period with here's the way forward, and if we agree, then we advertise for a meeting within 20 days.
So the one catch was that the tax bill mailing is going out
Friday.
Friday.
But I think, if I could, Your Worship, I think we'll abandon that chore, because I think that at the end of the day, we're not significantly altering anything that's already not out there. So I just think we just post it on the website.
Yeah, well, that sounds agreeable.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a little more structured than sort of trying to guess.
It is, and I think that in a small community like McKellar, there are people that pour over those websites, so it's not going to cause a problem. And if you can't peel anyway, what's the general loss to people's involvement in the process? So, I don't feel it's a big impact negatively.
And our website is changing, but it should stay in place, I guess, until this is over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And it'll be a transition. We'll just bring it over. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I notice on there that it's in a different place now to find all of these documents. So, okay, as long as people can find them still, it's good.
Yeah, it has changed a little bit recently.
Yeah, we're just trying to declutter.
I updated my iPhone. I can barely use it.
Well, at least you have an iPhone. Okay, well, thanks very much.
Okay, I have to apologize to Patrick because
I bumped
his time.
That's okay. No, I really appreciate you coming in person.
No, I prefer this. You know, one of the things we're going to hear, I'm sure, along the way as well, was COVID that created this problem. I've got to be frank, I'm getting a little bit sort of worn out listening to that as a reason for somebody not doing their job.
Exactly.
Okay, Council.
Great. Thanks again. To 15.2, have resolution 26-070, moved by Councillor Haskins, seconded by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B02/2026 McKellar, as applied for by Frank and Angela Moko, subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland is required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. Number two, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot. Three, that 10 meters from the center line of Balsam Road for both the severed and retained lots be transferred to the Township of McKellar if found not to be in the Township's ownership. And four, payment of any applicable planning board fees. Any discussion on that? I think before we actually vote on it, though, we have Patrick online. I think he's still on there.
He's there.
Okay, good.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm here.
Okay, great. Do you want to comment on that? We've already given you comments, certainly. Another planner has commented, but it'd be nice just to hear your comments.
Right. It's fairly straightforward. This is a consent on Balsam Road, and you may recognize the subject lands. They're the retained lands from the previous Oldham consent. The Oldhams, of course, the father of our gold medalist. I'm sure they're still celebrating that gold medal. But so this is a relatively straightforward sort of Oldham 2.0 consent, where there's room on the subject lands to create two new lots on Balsam Road. And as far as the retained lands go, it's been approved by Public Works, that there shouldn't be any problem with a entrance to the retained land, as well as, I don't see any problem with the proposed two severed lots. As far as access goes, relatively straightforward. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Any questions from Council? Seem fairly complete, and it meets all of the requirements that you'd mentioned for area and frontage. Okay. I guess there are no questions. So So we've got the four conditions in there, and that looks like that would be all. So I'll put this to a vote then. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Patrick's staying for... Is that it?
That's it.
Well, thank you, Patrick, for all your information.
Thank you, everyone.
Sorry. Sorry to keep you waiting. You know how long-winded John can be. So.
Of course I do. Of course I do. Okay, everyone have a great evening.
Yeah,
you too.
Thank you.
Patrick's thinking, you know, it's an early night after all.
On to 17.1. I have resolution 26-071, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report T-2026-02, Statement of the Council of Remuneration and Expenses 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 17.2, Resolution 26-072, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskell. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the annual Building Department Report 2025 from Chief Building Official Chris Borderlo for information purposes. Discussion. Councillor Haskell.
I was a little worried for a few years after COVID. We had a blow up of permits and people moving into the area, and then there just seemed to be the steady decline afterwards. But going by this report now, it looks to me as if things have evened out nicely, and the amount of permits being issued and that is pretty much covering the cost of the expense of that department. So I think it's for that reason, it's a wonderful report.
No, it's good to have it. It's, I guess the question we have, and we'll have to talk more when we're talking budget, but do you feel that we'll have as many applications and building permits as we've had in the past? I know on the planning board that issue came up, and from one of the representatives there said the numbers are probably going to decrease, even in the municipalities that are still part of the planning board. So do you think that we're being too optimistic in our budget? I don't recall the actual figure, but I think it's very similar to what was last year as far as our income from building permits. Looking at these stats, do you feel that there'll be just as much activity? Or do you think it might decrease some?
As far as building permits?
Building permits.
I think people are always going to want their additions and their docks and all that kind of stuff, even if the consent applications do lessen, meaning maybe the long-term trend might be less full house permits, but I think as we go forward, there's always people, there's still people come moving into the area, retiring, and want more, so I don't think we would have to be worried about a decline, sufficient decline anyway.
Councillor Keckman?
If there is a decline, then there is the reserve. I think it's 40-something thousand that can cover any shortfalls in the building department budget, and we can make adjustments the following year.
Yeah.
But there is a very strong possibility that 2026 might be a different year compared to 2025.
I'm just wondering, I don't know whether we would expect this of the CBO, but to make some general comments, general statements, rather than just giving us the figures, if he could actually make some observations from his position over the years. I mean, it's great that he's gone back into the 90s even and looked at the differences. But then just add that up with some general comments maybe on what he sees as a trend or maybe something to watch for and that sort of thing. It just seems to be a bunch of figures here, not no comment from the CBO. But maybe council that's not looking for that, I don't know.
Well, yeah, it would have been nice maybe to have it prior to this. I don't want to have to do all this reading and come to my own conclusions. I just read his.
Well, you put it at the end. Yeah. Councillor Keck.
One conclusion, I don't know if it's an exact science, but if you look at 2003 and 2025, they had the same amount of permits, but the values doubled. So
right.
Has the building cost to build a place can extrapolate that from this report.
More than doubled, that's for sure.
Any further comments on the report? Call the call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 26-073, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. To resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report admin-2026-02, Township logo design proposal from Deputy Clerk Mary Smith for information purposes. Any discussion on this? We'll, I'll take a vote on it, but then we will have some discussion. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, Mary, you're in the spotlight there. We've got your report and the different interpretations. We don't know who did what. That's fine. I looked at some of the other townships, and I could see where we're going with it, with many of them. So I don't know whether you want to give some background and where this originated and what concepts, just to give us the condensed version. Or?
We kind of came up with the idea of a new logo because we are redoing our website, and we've had the current logo for some time now. So we just thought we would give some options to council, and the options that we kind of went with kind of have a little bit of everything. So a corporate, you know, if you're looking for another corporate seal, if you're looking for a little more designer, if you want landscaping, which is more for tourism, but there's kind of, the concepts are all something different, and then bring in the elements of the township as well.
Okay, questions from council? Comments?
Comments. And what you see on the page doesn't have to be what it is. So if there's elements from one design that you like but you don't like, then please let us know and we can incorporate something else or mix them together. We can do quite a bit. So,
Councillor Haskell.
You knew it was coming. Well, I've had no input on any of these ideas. And I like some of them somewhat. Some I don't really like at all, kind of thing. But I kind of like the, say, for example, number five, you know, the picture of the lakefront with the picnic table and the dock. That's kind of nice. I lean that more so than the modern ideas of, you know, especially the first one, option number one with the great big M. You know, somebody might think that's McDougal maybe or something until they read the fine print. But that's only my preference. This is just my opinion. But I'm going to bring up an idea now, whether this could be added into whatever is decided by council going forward, because I think this animal here is probably one of our preferred animals in the township at the moment. Everybody loves their deer. All the tourists on the lakes, and I'm not even on the lake anymore, and I love my deer. I feed them, and I just think they're a symbol of our township. So whether that can be incorporated in at some point in some way, and you say, okay, why the white-tailed deer? Well, I went on the internet and Googled what does a white-tailed deer represent, and one of the first things it said is it's a cultural significance for indigenous people is one of them, so that kind of goes in the direction that we have adapted to going forward. It symbolizes wilderness. McKellar has two conservation areas in our township, which will, and the reason for that is to ensure that they stay as wilderness forever. They symbolize nature. We have lots of wonderful nature around, and it also represents resilience And I think 150 years would prove that we do have resilience. And one of the things that, kept us resilient was avoiding amalgamation. So there is still a McKellar Township. The deer also represent ecologically important, showing that we're healthy. As long as they're around means we have a healthy environment. And another thing that they're supposed to represent is adaptability and grace. Well, that's something we can work on in the future, maybe. We have shown some of that, but that's, I think, a target going forward. So as long as we have the deer there, that's a reminder that that's what we want to do. And then I just feel that if we do go public prior to adapting one of these, I think if a deer was in one of these logos, I think it would look favorable. So that's kind of just my feel on that. As far as I think if they would fit in on a natural scene such as number five, but I'm not saying I'm set on number five, but we have it's not that one, but I believe another one, we have a loon in them, so if we could incorporate the deer, and I really like, I looked at, first of all, the say a buck with antlers obviously is a deer, but I see them as their personality being a little more aggressive, and it might promote hunting in our area kind of thing. I like the idea of the doe and the fawn because it seems to have more a nurturing kind of idea to it, feel to it, and it's just a relaxed feeling kind of thing. So that, I just thought I'd bring that up as we go forward.
Okay. Other comments? Councilor Keck?
I think the starting point really is to get a sense from the community if they would be in support of changing the logo, because there is a cost and there is going to be a change. Just walking in here, I've seen on the CBO's vehicle, right away, there's a logo there that needs to be changed. So to get a sense of from the community, is this an endeavor that they think is worthwhile for the township to be engaging in and spending their time on? You know, when they look back in the term of council, and would they in the end say, that was great changing the logo, or like, I wish they would be spending more time on something else? So I think we need to get a bit of a sense from the community on what, you know, if they're in favor of changing the logo. You know, then we have the public support or not in regards to, you know, making an administrative change like this. The possibilities, if the consensus is that there is support from the public, the possibilities of logos are endless. You know, Morley provided a good suggestion. AI can generate logos within seconds. You just give the parameters, what you want in it, nature scene, corporation of Township of McKellar established. If you want to have a rural scene, natural scene, deer, so you're specific and you want to limit it to a certain number of colors. So the possibilities are endless, but I think, and then as well, maybe the public want to have an opportunity, if they did support the change of the logo, maybe they wanted to have an opportunity to provide their ideas on what the logo should look like. So that's just my thoughts on the idea.
Sounds good. It certainly complicates things when you want hundreds or thousands of people to send in their proposals. Any other comments? And who would be the judge? Yes.
My personal opinion is option four is my favorite, although frankly I think they all have positive impacts for sure. My only observation on that is we're showing a farm, which are obviously quite prevalent in McKellar. I think it would be worthwhile either to show some cottages, not that I think a cottage necessarily looks different than a home that people live in. I mean, and there is a second shore in this picture that could be done. Having said that, I like Marty's idea about putting the fawn in too, although don't want to clutter it too much either. I did notice in this one, we did not say the corporation of the Township of McKellar, and we have on other ones. And I don't know if that's a big deal for a logo anyway. I mean, there is other ones that don't say it as well, but and my only other point would be, Mike, is if we invite the public to submit their own still have the cost of the factor involved too. I mean, for anything, either that or leave it alone. But I think our existing logo is quite dated. I don't know. Do we know how long it's been around?
A couple decades anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no, I think it was really, no, it might be
three
back
or four.
Into the 90s. It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the unfortunately the beaver isn't looked upon as a little animal anymore. I think most look at them as...
Yeah, he didn't look at the most recent publication on the Whitestone site supporting the beaver.
Oh, is that right, eh?
Big time.
That's why we're not amalgamating with Whitestone. They're totally different than us.
No, we have to get that clarified, and you know, our approach to it. I know the library. Maybe get a little background there. They're going public with the logo submissions.
Yeah.
You might get more people interested for a township wide as opposed to a library. I'm not sure, and I'm not sure what your submissions are like. Whether you're getting any or
I don't know. We'll
yeah.
find out Monday if they got any.
Because it does complicate matters certainly when you open it up to anybody can submit anything. And then how do you decide? And then copyright, any number of things you'd have to, like even the AI, is that copyright? I don't know. Where did it come from? I mean, this Getty Images, don't they have a monopoly on everything? That if you pull anything at all from anywhere rather than creating it yourself. And yet you've got the other option too of other people who are commercial artists as such in the township. I don't know what route you want to take. I think we all agree that we want to update. It's just a question of how we go about it. Councillor Zulak.
Did we not do put that out to the public for Minerva Park? Isn't that how we got the name, Minerva Park, at that time?
I
thought we did.
There's a long history of why it's called Minerva.
I know, and I think that was the reason why it was picked, but I thought it went out to the public and...
Well,
there was different names.
Historical, certainly, too, because Mill Pond was part of it.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
the original historical name was.
Minerva
Mill
Pond, wasn't
right.
that? Yeah, because I think that's what it was. But anyways, other than that, I was wondering, did you give any thought, or would council think of anything, like with our horse, a picture with our horse?
Well, you have to. Again, if you're looking for public opinion, like as Councillor Keckinen said, then I think you have to go that route. First of all, do we want to change, and then what would they like to see in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense to make a drastic change like this and then have a majority of people opposed to the idea. Just, you know, it's a recurring theme of, you know, what the outcome can be if you're not consulting... being sort of proactive in consulting to ensure that you know, there's some buy-in anyways.
So how do you want to approach it? Do you want something on our website, old website, soon to be changed website, questionnaire? I don't know.
Yeah, you could always put on there something like, you know, the township is thinking of changing the township logo, your thoughts, you know, your thoughts on that, you know, would be appreciated.
We could maybe do a bit of a survey.
Yeah.
And then from that data, then we can decide whether staff can make the logo as to what the data was pushing to, if there were certain elements that the public was looking for, and then if not, then maybe decide whether it would be going to the public for their design. But I think if the staff collect a bit more information as to what the public wants to see, then we can likely just do something in-house.
Yeah, and not only that, like if you do put something out there like that, you may get a response like, why are you wasting your money on this, right? why aren't you taking care of this issue? You know, I have a problem with this, and that's not being looked at, so why are you wasting money on this?
Yeah.
The roads are bad.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough. Like,
yeah,
it gives
fair.
The public an opportunity to comment. And then whatever, if, you know, if there is buy-in and the public provides some ideas and input, the images that get generated, just, it's going to be impressive. Like, you know, it's not everything done by hand in the past where you're versions of the logo, so it's going to look quite impressive, you know, if that's what the public would like to see.
And I guess if they want to generate their own and send it in, I guess there's no stopping them. I guess we got to accept that kind of thing. But there's going to be a lot of disappointed people at the end of the day, you know.
Well,
it's not accepted.
You'll never satisfy everybody, so.
Yeah, if there's no deer in it, I imagine.
But one pretty mad person.
But the other thing is, too, it's the logistics, I guess. There are only so many things. I mean, what's it cost to reproduce? And so many colors and all kinds of things when you start doing that. So it can't be limitless. You can't put everything in there. There has to be a common sense approach to it, too. So.
And you can put those parameters in there, limit to these three colors. I do think that the corporation attaching the color is pretty important to have in there. If this is the logo that's going to be on every township vehicle,
oh, yeah.
That the corporation is the corporation of the township of McAllen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then a cost. We need to just have even a rough estimate of looking at everything that we have that has a logo on it, what is it going to cost to replace all those items in the stationery and envelopes and et cetera, et cetera. Like if this all of a sudden becomes a $50,000 exercise, I don't know if it, what kind of support it would have. So
there goes Roshan's stuff.
I think that the only thing that would have to be changed, like for cost-wise, would be the logos on the vehicles would be the main thing. Like the letterhead and everything we do ourselves, and the envelopes don't have our logo on it.
New flag.
I think the list all of a sudden starts growing when you actually sit down and start, you know, noting what has the logo on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had to work for that new flag. Something representative. Most people never see it. Okay, I don't know if that's.
Yep, that's good.
Hopefully, it didn't dampen too much. We'll blame Councillor Haskell if it did. On to 17.4. Resolution 26-074, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report of January 2026 from Treasurer Roshan Cantia for information purposes. Any discussion? Those figures? Councillor Zulak?
Yeah, on page 5, it's just a question. It says invoice number 1474, generations effect, $3,984. What is that?
That was for a grant application that was writing for Mighty's management. We're legislated to deal with it, and we don't really have a policy. So the GBB is very good at writing successful grants, so we're just currently waiting to hear the status of that. It's a one-to-one match, so when we get the funds, it will cover this cost of the grant writing. And in the event that we are not successful, we have budgeted this amount for roadside maintenance in the 2026 draft budget, and we can use what they've submitted for this year to try again next year.
Oh, okay. Thanks,
Harley. Councilor
Peckman? So just looking at the community center and page 7, and there's two expenses for water testing. So how many staff do we have that does the water testing?
The CBO does the water testing, and then we also have the health unit come do water testing as well.
I just want to make sure that we have enough staff in case there is an issue, like if there's ever any change of staff or anything, that we're not in a lapse of not having the water testing.
Public Works Superintendent is familiar with water testing as he's done that in a previous role, but I don't believe his license is current, so in the event something were to happen, we could just get him re-licensed.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Zulak?
On page 19. The top, $246, $960, ownership of sea land accrued by a building, our portion for
Unfortunately, one First Nation did not pay their portion of a shared invoice, so all the townships had to split it to pay, and then once they do pay back Seguin, we will get that money back. I believe that was for the hospital dispatch. I'd have to confirm with Rob. I believe that's what it was for, though.
Page 14 and the Association of Municipalities of Ontario membership 2,191. So, do we have to have that membership enabled to in order to receive the gas tax because they administer the gas tax?
I can ask. We look at the memberships every year, and the ones we've paid for many years, we continue to pay. There's some memberships we don't pay, like Canadian Federation of Municipalities. So we have been paying AMO for quite some time, but I can look into that.
Any other comments?
So,
Councilor Keckin?
Page 19, and then general government printing of laser checks.
This provider prints our physical checks that we print to pay vendors.
Okay,
thank you.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 19.1, resolution 26-075, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Keckin. Whereas the township has received a request from Budget Propane to run three axle trucks with a load not to exceed 6,700 kilograms per axle during the reduced load period, half loads. And whereas section 122, parentheses 2 of the Ontario Highway Traffic Act provides that A, no two axle tank truck, while used exclusively for the transportation of liquid or gaseous heating fuel, shall be operated upon any designated highway where the weight upon an axle exceeds 7,500 kilograms. And whereas the delivery of propane for home heating fuel is an essential service, now therefore be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby grant the request from Budget Propane, Gravenhurst, for the extension of the interpretation of section 122.2 for vehicles used exclusively for the transportation of liquid or gaseous heating fuel to include three-axle or tandem rear-axle commercial vehicles such as that they may carry a weight of 6,700 kilograms per axle. Discussion? Councilor Keckin?
I find it very interesting that in the correspondence that we received, the MTO recognized the need to accommodate fuel delivery during the reduced load periods in the 1970s. And implemented subclause 122.2A, which establishes a higher 7,500 kilogram axle restriction for two axle trucks. A lot of trucks now have three axles. And the challenge is that there is no reduced load period accommodation made for three axle trucks. Therefore, the MTO has advised the Canadian propane industry to engage individual jurisdictions to request accommodation for propane delivery. Why aren't they just amending the Highway Traffic Act? You know, if the MTO was advising these propane suppliers to engage with the municipalities, why not just deal with it at the level? Why is the MTO advising them to do that instead of just dealing with the Highway Traffic Act?
Well, maybe municipalities don't want it, so they're trying to stay away from it. But just wait till you hear, maybe you saw the latest release for road construction in municipalities. They're looking going back to MTO to set the standards, and that the municipality by 2027, I think, will have to meet those standards for the roads. They don't differentiate whether it be the old seasonal road and what type of road they're going to set the standards like they used to do, I think. And that used to be that they would have to approve any road before it was assumed, and that was tied into the subsidy that you received for those roads. But I think we're on the right track by hiring an engineer to look at requirements, and I think our requirements will certainly match up with what MTO might come up with for upgrading. grading up our roads. I think we're ahead of the game. So I don't know what they're going to put in place, but I think it might be a shock to some municipalities that are letting lesser roads be assumed. So I don't know. I can't answer your question, but I think municipalities maybe didn't want that. But
I think the point I'm getting to is that, you know, the MTO should be advising their bureaucrats to amend this if this is what the propane suppliers, liquid gas suppliers, are requesting.
Well, it's what the companies want. I'm not sure it's what municipalities want.
No, like the companies. So, anyways, this has come to the council table numerous times, and it's been defeated each time. So
we know your vote. Councilor Zulai.
So did our road superintendent make a comment?
Unfortunately, I did forget to ask him. That was one thing I was trying to remember to ask him. But we're kind of a bit early as well, so perhaps council may want to defer it to March 3rd meeting, and I can get his opinion. And maybe we're kind of a little bit further into winter, seeing how our roads are holding up.
Because I believe, like you were saying, last year and the year prior to that, we defeated it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was based on
his comments.
Yeah, comments from the public works.
Councillor Haskin.
Yeah, I'm confident in the defeating us. I've seen the damage that was done to some of our local roads by trucks in the past. Now, they had a couple of mild winters, or I don't think the frost was in really to help protect our surfaces, but I think they can. If they got somewhere to deliver up through Broadbent Road or whatever road, they can send a smaller truck that single or, but that's three axles at 6,700 kilograms each. That's 20,000 kilogram weight within the distance of three axles. That's a lot of stress on our roads, so I would have to vote against it.
Okay, so we'll put it to a vote now. Call the question. All those in favor? Opposed? Okay, all opposed, so it's defeated. On to 21.1. Resolution 26-076. Moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby give bylaw number 2026-10, being a bylaw to amend bylaw number 2025-10, being a bylaw to authorize the execution of an agreement for a bylaw enforcement officer for the Township of McKellar, and to appoint a bylaw enforcement officer for the Township of McKellar, the first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open council the 17th day of February 2026. Sounds like I'm repeating myself, but that's the way it's worded. Mm-hmm. Discussion. I think it's great that we haven't been changing our bylaw enforcement, that we have something steady now in place and doing a good job, I think. So, and the regular reports, I think it's working well. I'm not sure all of the public would agree with that necessarily. The ones that the bylaw enforcement officer is inspecting, but call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Unfinished business. List in front of you. Anything you comment on there?
Can I ask, Carly, in terms of the cybersecurity insurance, is there any update on that?
Not yet.
Is there a reason? This has been several months, hasn't it?
Our IT provider is currently busy with Belvedere Heights, just kind of getting them online, so they just haven't had time, and they've been working with us for other IT issues that have cropped up, so this is kind of just something that's a bit on the back burner, but...
Okay. Thank you.
I will add that we did have a contractor visit the hall today to look at the 150th banners. So he's going to provide the township with some different options for fixing them and then cost as well. So that's just an update there.
That saves me saying why it's not on the list.
It's being done.
Oh, darn, I can't complain.
And the historical committee went and looked at it last week, and then it was Joyce Allen that actually was installed those with her family. They designed it and they installed it.
Mm-hmm.
So Joyce was going to come take a look at it as well if she had any ideas.
Right. Okay. Good.
Okay, anything else on that list? New business? Councilor Peckin?
So it was, I think a notice was put out that there is a meeting this coming Thursday. There's an open house town hall meeting with Minister Calandra and the school board reps in regards to the K-12 new build and any questions, and it's open to the public, and it's held at the old Perry Sound High School on Isabella Street. All are welcome to attend.
And he'll be there in person? It's not a Zoom link?
No.
Okay.
He's going to be there. And yeah.
One hour long. So
1 hour.
He can put up with whatever for 1 hour and then get the heck out of there.
Well, who knows? Maybe he's flexible, and maybe he'll stay until everyone's had a chance to say their word, their concerns.
Would have been really nice to have an independent estimate of the attendance coming up for the next, for how they determine the last few years and how they're determining the future years. I know he's saying, well, he'll get his own numbers now and not pay it. Hopefully he gives us the right numbers. You know, I'm a little worried about that because I know he has his own agenda, so.
Well, that's a good question you can ask on Thursday night.
I'm talking to my council rep. And
well, I think a lot of people will probably, that question will be one that's
you
going
would
to be a common
so.
Question.
I think that's the biggest one. I know people are disappointed in our school not being ready, but is that school going to even accommodate what's going to happen in our future? So, but anyways,
yeah. I think that's going to be a that would be a question that most likely will be brought up.
Yeah, I may attend anyway.
Okay, any other new business?
I did receive a text from somebody wondering, is there any pigeons over at the arena? Has anybody complained or that know of? Because we did have that rectified and...
Still here, a few if you're over.
Yeah, oh, okay.
So
it's
all eliminated, I guess.
Okay. So
it may have been at one point, but
it'll be rectified again in the spring.
Right. Okay. I don't let anybody know if they do mention it to me then that spring trip over it on the ice surface for now, I guess. But I think that's a little extreme, but very good, thank you.
I wanted to throw this out too and see what council thought. It's done at other places. We read the territorial acknowledgement, land acknowledgement, with the playing of O Canada. I know some places do. You might find it's too repetitious, perhaps, but at the beginning of a meeting, to do something like that, it wouldn't have to be sung, and I don't expect people to sing it. I've heard you sing, but some of you, anyway.
We have to sing.
But just a musical, quick version, and whether you think that's worthwhile investigating or not. Maybe it's too much of a change. So
I think it's great.
Is that what Whitestone does that do?
Yes, they do.
And if we do it soon enough, maybe we could have some recognition of Megan Oldham in some way, like to blend with that, depending on if this is going to be 8 months or years out. But if it was in the next few weeks, maybe Dave could come up with some sort of thank you from our council and or recognition. Along with you,
yeah,
would be excellent.
But I have to leave it to staff to get a version that can be done quickly at the beginning of each meeting. And that'd be our regular meetings; it wouldn't be all the special meetings.
No, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you proud, I think.
They used to do. I don't even know if they do it in school anymore. They used to. at 9 o'clock. They used to.
Used to be God Save the Queen. I know we had to stand up and say,
yeah.
Now it's the King, but.
My two grandchildren live next to me, both know the words to O Canada. I didn't know that. I heard them singing it on the weekend, and I thought, I said, do you sing that at school? And the answer was yes. So,
oh, okay.
Good.
Maybe, I don't know, but I was kind of surprised by that, that's all. But, and impressed. But.
Yeah. Is it a shorter version they do at Whitestone, or full length?
Full length, I think.
Oh,
just music, though. Not,
yeah.
Know.
Yeah.
Oh, not the words?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
That's fine.
Unless they sing along with it. I don't know. The counselors might.
Well, you can check out both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Words and just the music.
Well, municipal association meetings.
That's
all done there. That's where I heard you sing, I think. Yes. Anyway, they don't come up that often. I wondered if people would get tired of it too if they do it every council meeting sort of thing. But anyway, it can be investigated. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, or reports by council members. Any committees you attended? Workshops? No? Okay, consent agenda. We have item 25, resolution 26-077, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, seconded by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Chachman McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda as presented. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss? I thought that was quite a, I won't make a long statement about it, but the diversion project, that was quite elaborate with the providing. I didn't know it was that serious, what was going on. And they've got task force, I guess, committee set up to investigate it further with pharmacies and the OPP. And that was fairly major just in this area alone. Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Question, comment period related items on the agenda. Anybody in person or on Zoom? Mr. Rubin.
Thank you, Mayor Moore. Just one comment to put in the chat. The CBO report wasn't included in the public agenda package, for your knowledge. And unfortunately, I heard maybe about one third of what Mr. Jackson had to say. So I just wondered, I didn't hear how the council is moving forward with the issue on the OPA.
Yeah, he's going to get back to us, I think, what was it, 2 to 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
With a revised document and what would be sent in the OPA 9. And we will have the audio available, certainly. And we did get your notice there in the chat. And I think we tried to fix the problem initially. A lot depends, of course, too, on how the people speak into the microphone. But there will be a further documents coming. And that will be a public meeting, and there'll also be documents sent to municipal affairs. So you just have to stay tuned, I guess, to the dates that he comes up with. Councilor Ryan.
Okay, great.
Due to my hearing issues, I was actually watching the captions appearing on the screen, and frankly, it was in direct line of sight with John Jackson. There's some errors with things, but I think that's normal. But I did see that it was capturing virtually all of his conversation. Are you seeing the captions too, Mr. Rubin?
I can turn them on. I don't typically, because I do find it a bit distracting to try and read and hear at the same time. But thank you for that suggestion. I will try that going forward if I'm having audio issues.
Okay. But the piece that I missed about not introducing myself at the beginning of the session, what I was looking at was that our names as we go around the table, not a single one of those names was spelled right or even phonetically right. But I mean, having said that, it was capturing virtually 100% of what John was saying. And as near as I can tell with my hearing, it was pretty accurate. Just some words are misspelled and things, but that's not a big deal. But it was capturing everything. And I know the microphone was turned down, and Carly, I know you came over and turned it up. But I had been watching because I saw it. It's right in front of me. Honestly, it really did capture everything, so.
Good. Any further questions?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. On to item 27.1, we have resolution 26-078. Moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2026-11, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council, the first and second reading, further give a third reading and pass an open Council this 17th day of February 2026. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. And on to item 28, resolution 26-079, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at
8:27 p.m.
to meet again on March the 3rd, 2026 for a regular meeting of Council or at the call of the Mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.